what, Annie? Good. I'm just I'm pleased, in fact, that the person who rang to say, hang on, I'll put you on to Annie, we'll wait and we'll put you on live. And I thought, well, that's great to know, because at least I know I'm alive. And in fact, that you're alive as well, which is great. And Miller's definitely alive because she's much younger than us, but we're hanging in.
Yeah,
but look, I have got some bad news, though, because on the week that was this morning, which I assume is going to come on shortly, I end by pointing out we have asked some of the important people in this world, Gina and company, for donations to 3CR. At the end of it, I point out they haven't got back to us yet. Well, they still haven't, unfortunately. We recorded that yesterday, but so far, Gina and company haven't given a cent, so... Unfortunately, it's up to other people to come to the rescue, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They have to. People have to ring and they have to donate online. And they just, the world without 3CR would be bereft.
Well, also, you made the point earlier, I think it's whatever we need to get 200 and something thousand over the radiothon this year. And it struck me that for many of the filthy rich in this country, that's about 1 or 2 minutes of their total income all year.
I know. Isn't that just outrageous?
Yeah, they could in 1 or 2 minutes give us what we need, and we could all go and enjoy ourselves.
But also, Kevin, if you think about it, how much amazing stuff people do with that small amount of cash.
I mean, once you get beyond a certain amount, what do you need it for anyway? That's the point. I mean, you raised the point earlier, but you did say that, you know, poor people don't need to spend anyway. Well, that's good because they can't. but of course, we are asked. They're the people we're asking for money. And I must admit, Siri, every year, because I've been, you know, around 3CR for a long time, in fact, the week that was hits its 40th anniversary, 40 years come this August. It was the first Keating budget. We did the first one. And it strikes me every year the incredible generosity of people, and the fact that even though I say listener and carry on, there are people out there who obviously, like us, care about the issues and are prepared to put their money into what is community radio. After all, community radio means we depend on the community.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, Kevin. And I've got to say that it's probably a two-way street. I think the community depends on us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll have to say, I have to give you this. <laughs> 40 years.
Surely it's a great opportunity for people to donate $40 as a birthday present to the week that was.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. That's August that comes up, and they could do that. And Miller, in fact, you're a classic example of why we need 3CR. The point you raised earlier, that you happened to one day just listen to an interview and it converted you to 3CR, and now you're doing all this amazing work around the place. so, you know, it's a prime example of the great value of having a station like 3CR.
Thanks for getting up this morning, Kevin.
That's all right. Look, can I just give a plug, though, before we go, because you mentioned about community things. This morning there is a rally. It's going to be Brunswick Town Hall at 11 o'clock, but people are gathering at 11 opposite Berkeley Square, the corner there. It's about accessible public transport, and they're talking about if they close the upfield line to put crossings, I hope they don't, but to put level crossings in, it will be closed for months, and people with disability issues won't be able to use, they'll have no public transport. So
not just disability issues, people with prams, people...
Everything, yeah. Everything. Anyone who has a mobility problem. And anyway, the whole system, I mean, they've promised for years, but they've never done it, that the whole system has to become accessible. And in fact, we had a bloke called Christian on City Limits the other weekend. We interviewed him. He's in a wheelchair, and he made the point that even though he gets public transport, it's no use to him if he can't get on it. So there's a rally this morning at 11, and I do urge people to get along and support that.
A week solidarity, Bricky Team listener, when we open with the much sought after Courage Under Fire Award. After last week we commented on the super duper obscene profits resource sector attacking the socialists for their economy crippling policy to legislate for same work, same pay, and to make it worse, same conditions. After all the sector does for the country and its environment, well, not just this country, the global environment. The industry, part of a very expensive caring employer campaign to explain how it simply can't afford to meet these profit-sapping claims by its lazy, avaricious workforce, including, in many cases, their own in-house labour hire companies. And this week, the socialists displayed their usual courage under fire as they announced, yes, we may exclude the poor, struggling, great resource behemoths from the legislation, because they would suffer serious profit implications if they couldn't same work, not same pay, not pay workers the same pay and conditions for the same work. The lesson here is obvious. It's time for the unemployed, the homeless, single mums, the lowest of low paid, asylum seekers imprisoned indefinitely, to spend millions on a campaign to force the government to show the same courage under fire in doing what they want. But they better move fast and spend up big, because they're crippling the economy. As it was reported this week, well, to quote the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review, a cocktail of rising wages and woeful labour productivity is poised to jack up unemployment and cause businesses to replace workers with cheaper machines. So the solution is staring lazy, avaricious workers in the face, if only they could see it through their myopic greed. Work twice as hard for half as much, and your caring employer will love you. Although the delicate flower that is the economy is so delicate, isn't it? Despite that jack-up unemployment threat, unemployment figures fell. The very opposite of what reserve losses bank supremo Philip Lay Workers Low knows is good for the economy. Thus, yesterday, predictions that less people unemployed is so bad for all of us that interest rates will have to rise again. Good news for those workers taking half their pay so they can work twice as hard, showing just how complicated is the delicate flower. So complicated, poor Phil and the Reserve Losses Bank team found their losses will be even greater because a review showed they had underpaid their own workers by 1.15 million. But in fairness, Phil said they were genuinely sorry. Why is that, Phil? It was a mistake to undertake the review. Without it, we wouldn't have been sprung. Former Bank of England Governor Mark Carney, described as one of the world's most respected central bankers, told us interest rates will have to remain high well into next year if we are to control inflation. Interesting, isn't it, that all the important people who tell us interest rates must rise, wages are too high, workers don't work hard enough, we must have more unemployment, all those important contributions to the greatest little economic order of them all, don't seem to be the people they advocate should work harder for less, etc. Why don't workers advocate those things? Suppose it explains why they're workers, they just don't understand. We need the filthy rich to tell us what's good for us. Like Gina Wronghart, for instance, our very filthiest rich of the filthy rich, who complained this week that the economy-destroying socialists are putting up barriers to all the investments she wants to make this country a better place. Barriers like red tape causing long delays, environmental and biosecurity laws, Terra Nullius non-people heritage laws, emission reduction policies, and to make matters worse, caring business class relations laws that are throttling great investors like Gina. What a list. Hasn't the government, hasn't society considered what good Gina could do for this country if she could but go where she likes without having to worry about the environment, about biosecurity, the Terra Nullius non-people, pollute to her big heart's content, and not have to worry about paying workers? It's amazing she remains so filthy rich with all those barriers. Timely item last week that 12 people had been pardoned after being convicted of witchcraft. Just bad luck, they were executed 400 years ago. The mills of God and the law grind slowly. Timely. For this week, two great men were victims of modern witch hunts. Former US of the UN of the US of the world, big supremo Donald Trump or the poor, and her, as it was, her most gracious majesty's home country supremo, Boris joined the party, son. poor, innocent, all humility Donald, revealing the investigator's wife was a tramp or the poor hater, biggest hater ever, ever. And the investigator himself, demented, biggest demented ever, ever. So it's hard to see how those charges can stick when Donald tells the court that. And poor Boris resigned after being shown the report of an inquiry into a few parties at Downing Street to help them get through the COVID crisis. Obviously abashed by any suggestion he knew what he thought was not a party, just might have been a party. Political assassination. Poor Boris. What thanks for their invaluable service to the economic order that is the status quo, the greatest little economic order of them all. Still hope they're measuring the prison cell to make sure they can squeeze in the presidential desk, just in case, by some remote chance, the greatest hater ever, ever, biggest dementia ever, ever defence fails. A timely and important intervention in the Voice debate this week from that bastion of progressive thought, True Blue Aussies for Constitutional Monarchy, God Save the Charlie, pointing out they led a successful referendum by sinking Republican hopes, so they know all about these things, more than anyone else. Listen to our monarchical wisdom. I won't bore you with their brilliant ideas involving postponing the whole thing, other than they recommend we take note of the constitutional intentions of our founding fathers. Founding fathers, by inference, acknowledging that terra nullius non-people were terra nullius. So the founding fathers found whatever they found, which whatever it was obviously didn't involve women, mothers, and most certainly didn't involve the terra nullius non-people. Verifying the truth, Captain Cook discovered the whole place. Despite what the goody-goody black armband so-called politically correct historical revisionists say, the authors of this invaluable contribution to the debate include long-term bow and scrape say-your-prayers-facing London advocate David Flintstone and Daniel La Hood, real name, listed as True Blue Aussies for Constitutional Monarch Moneyarchy's young national convener. And I thought, if they reckon young people get more conservative as they grow older, what hope this bloke? We can be sure he would already know terra nullius non-people should be not seen and not heard. Like that Lydia Thorpe, as Wednesday's and Thursday morning's mainstream media coverage of sexual harassment claims inferred, here she goes again. But unfortunately for them and the caring business class party and its senator involved, her claims stirred up more claims by non-terra nullius real people women who couldn't be dismissed by here she goes again. But one woman who should be dismissed while picking up the Feminist Solidarity Award for her effort, no-notion giant mind that appalling Hoonson, who attacked an emotional Lydia Thorpe for, well, presumably for, saying she was sexually harassed. As a by-the-by, don't know about you, listener, but until Wednesday, even though this van person has apparently been in the Senate for a number of years, I never knew he existed, now known as Van's Hands. But what an insult to our gentle protectors of liberty, freedom and democracy, guardians of the delicate flower that is the economy on behalf of its altruistic practitioners, the police, Lydia saying she and other women don't trust them in reporting sexual assault, when there's a huge bonus like having your emails and texts and your private life splashed all over the Lord Rupert of Wapping News very limited media. On such matters, on the death this week of former Italian Supremo Silvia Berlusconi the people, if there is an afterlife, I recommend all women in hell steer well clear. And on monarchy, Charlie's birthday notice, the highest honour went to former socialist Polly Jenny Macklin Single Mums Poor for services to, inter alia, paid parental leave at Indigenous True Blue Aussies. But she was the minister who threw single parents onto the dole, into poverty, and after the socialists vehemently opposed little Johnny Howhide's terra nullius intervention, as minister she became its strongest advocate, honoured for doing the opposite of what she did. Bit of disappointment though, went straight to the H's and yet again, nothing. And I did check the M's, and sorry, Annie, Charlie doesn't love you either. Finally, we put out a call asking all of the above, the Courage Under Fire socialists, Philip, the monarchists, Mark the banker, Gina, Jenny, to donate to our radiothon so we can continue to give them such favourable publicity. But can't believe it. Not one of them's got back to us. So it looks like community radio has to depend on a different community. That way we can continue to give Gina et al. Such favourable publicity. Good morning.